The Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is brought to you by Kyle Garman Realtor. Whether you're buying or selling, whether for your forever home or that quiet desert vacation getaway, Kyle Garman and the team at Keller Williams have the experience and skill to make the process simple and convenient. Check them out today at kylegarman.kw.com. Our podcast is also brought to you by DesertDefenseLawyers.com, DUI and criminal defense throughout the Coachella Valley. The criminal justice system is scary and confusing, but relief is just a click away at DesertDefenseLawyers.com, where we've been keeping folks out of the penalty box since 2008. The Coachella Valley Firebirds are bringing the Valley closer together, and the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is your weekly dose of everything Firebirds. If you have suggestions for guests or questions you'd like answered or anything you want to add, be sure to leave them in the comments. If you like what you hear, please remember to hit that like button for this episode and be sure to subscribe. So if you're ready, here we go. Let's get into it. 3, 2, 1.
Firebirds goal!
Scoring his 13th goal of the playoff.
The captain, number 17, Max McCormick.
Assisted
by number 19, Cameron Hughes.
Welcome to the Firebirds Fan Zone with your hosts, David and Kyle.
I'm ready to go, baby.
All right, here we go. We are going. I don't even know what episode number this is anymore, and it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Episode X.
This episode is going to be one of, I think it'll go down as one of my favorites, because we are talking to Ed Heathouse.
Yeah, baby.
Who is an off-ice AHL official.
That's so awesome.
And we have a lot to get to with him. But before we do, last night,
What a great night.
And greet with the players at Spotlight.
Yeah, man.
And it was absolutely spectacular. And I will say, before you go, I'm just going to say, I'm a grown-ass man.
Yes, you are.
And I was still fanboying over these friggin' 20-somethings.
These kids.
Because of the joy they bring to the entire valley, the excitement, the fun. So my first thank you today is going to be to the players, to the team, to the coaches.
Nice.
For doing what they do, but I know you got a bigger thank you.
Well, I think last night, quite honestly, we were approached multiple times.
Everybody
out there who supports this podcast and watches and subscribes, thank you so much. There's a lot of positive feedback that we received. So thank you guys so much for that. If you haven't subscribed already, if you haven't hit the like button, please do that and keep sharing this.
Look at that, a shameless plug right from the
100%.
Start.
100%. You know, it was great because the feedback we were getting was they love the content, they love the questions that are being asked, so we're going to keep doing it, and I want to thank everybody that showed up last night.
For sure. Everyone who came up to me, I just want to say I was, like, humbled by that.
All right, me too.
We're just a couple of fans just like you sitting here talking.
Yep.
And that you enjoy it enough to come say hi, that means the world. So thank you for that.
And I think we turned a couple people onto it last night at the casino. They were asking how to find it. Hey, we hear about this. And I'm going to plug it is a little shameless plug. Grant Fuhr, at the end of the night, this was like a great moment. I'm standing out there. He's with his wife. They're waiting for valet to pick up. And Grant, I go up, shake his hand, say hi. And he asked me, hey, how's the podcast?
And no way.
Yeah, man. So he knows.
Hey, Grant, dude, if you're listening.
Yeah, Grant's paying
just push
attention.
The button. This seat is, you're welcome.
Absolutely.
To
and I did. I extended the invite, but he asked me. And so we've got the attention of some folks. And it's been amazing, the feedback. So, guys, thank you so much for everything last night. That was just awesome. And everybody who showed up and showed out. We had twice as many people in that building last night than we did last year.
That's
so cool.
Believe me. And next year, we're going to have many more. I think.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway.
All right, let's get to it. Let's get to it. We got
sounds like a wonderful place.
It's a great place.
So here's we are so lucky that people who I think everyone we've asked so far to come sit with us has gladly and generously said yeah.
So awesome.
I said yes. But this particular guest today, I'm especially looking forward
to. You're just all giddy.
I am.
Look at you.
I'll tell you why, because over the course of the inaugural season, we sort of developed a friendship.
Yeah,
which
we did.
Completely unexpected out of nowhere, and I'm grateful for it. But this guy's got, and we're about to find out, an insanely massive encyclopedic knowledge of the sport, of the history, but can give us insight. He's going to show us in a while. He's going to show us his notebook from season. It's going to be amazing. So, Ed Heathouse, let's start with who are you, where are you from, and how'd you get here?
Well, hi, guys, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
So love. This, I'm giddy,
it's
too.
Weird not to see you in your jacket, by the way.
I know your tie and the
every time we see you out there, typically that's how we see you all dressed up.
It's nice to dress back down.
Yeah.
And it's also and nice to see you without the playoff mullet you had going.
The mullet and beard.
Yeah. I just got off an island, woke out of a coma beard. Yeah, it was
had
great.
A bit of a castaway thing.
It was awesome. Yeah, yeah, no, I was jealous, though. It was good.
I got home from game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Beard came off.
Yeah, we hear that.
Probably the first good night's sleep I had in a while,
and,
too.
And I already had the haircut scheduled for the next week.
That's
so
funny.
Nice.
Yeah, back to clean cut.
All right, so let's go back in your history. But where are you from? What's your story?
So, born and raised in Muskegon, Michigan.
Okay. We have a player from Muskegon last night, I think
so.
And I'm not sure who. I remember hearing that name.
Yeah, they were home of the Muskegon Mohawks from the International Hockey
League. Go Mohawks.
Go Hawks.
And you'll hear me reference my father a lot because he's gone 20 years, but still constantly guiding. And he's the one that got me into hockey. He took me to my first game when I was 3.
Wow.
I started skating, the winter after I learned how to walk. And we started going to games when I was 3. I remember a little bit of
what was
from
the first
being
game
a
4-year-old. You
remember? Muskegon? Probably the Port Huron Flags. And
it's quite the handle.
The who what?
Quite the handle right there.
The Porcupine Flags. What did you say?
Yeah, Port Huron.
Port Huron.
And the flags. And okay. They had the coolest cross flags jerseys. Mm. And that is what stands out to me. But Section A, row K, seats 1 and 2.
You still remember?
Oh, wow. That's significant.
I went back to Muskegon last November for the first time ever. Or first time in 45 years.
Oh, wow.
And I'd set it up so that I was there on a Saturday night for a home game.
Oh, wow. How was that for you?
And, it was. I bought 2 seats. I walked up to the box office, and the young lady said, "How many?" And I said, 2, please. And I said, "Senior discount." Section A, row K, seats 1 and 2. And she said, "Sir, the sections are all numbered. They're not letters."
It's been a while.
Because it's only been half a century.
It's been a while.
It's only been 45 years. So she showed me the seating chart. And as fate would have it, the 2 seats that we always occupied were open. So
no
I bought
way.
Both seats.
Was it so it was empty? You sat next to... Man, that's really awesome.
Yeah. Really? You got to give me all teary?
I know. That's really cool. Well, you know what's funny is we've had a couple conversations and... We're coming to find out, and this is, I think, the coolest thing, you know, when the dads are you know, pouring into their sons and having those moments, and daughters, you know, obviously, so it doesn't matter, but I mean, I think some dads have been getting bad raps, you know, so, I mean, when you talk about your dad the way you do, and I can tell you're getting emotional a little bit, I think that's great. I think that's so
too.
Cool. Those little moments, I think that's what sports does for people, too. It brings, you know, parents and kids together.
Yeah,
so
he was my biggest fan, and it didn't matter how big the arena was that we were playing in, I could always spot him coming out of the tunnel.
Could you hear him? Because my son played a lot of sports, and no matter what sport he played, he could always hear my voice. Because I mean, my voice carries, but could you hear your dad? Was he one of those guys that would cheer for you and get loud?
Yeah, I guess
and
so. But I couldn't. I was generally.
Well, you had a goalie helmet on, so you probably couldn't hear anything.
I was a little too far away.
No, okay, yeah.
All right, so you're a tot. You're learning to skate. You're with your dad.
So, yep, played youth hockey growing up.
You're a goalie, right?
Yeah, goaltender. Oh. Well, dad made me skate out the first year and made me play defense. Wanted me to understand the ice, understand the people's
Very
roles
smart.
Before he let me back into the net. Plus, he wanted the skating skills to be there.
Did your dad play?
Yeah, but not professionally.
Okay.
But, yeah, he had plenty of experience. And so 1 year on defense and then back in between the pipes, and I've been there ever since. Haven't skated since COVID. I remember when I used to have a left knee and a right knee. Now I have a bad knee and a worse knee, and until these get replaced.
Okay.
Which hopefully will be sometime.
So you've skated almost your entire life.
Pretty much.
Wow.
pretty
and
much.
You, I think in another, you said you played juniors, right?
I did. I played junior B out of high school.
How's the, what's the high, is that, the, what's, help us with the levels, but how mm-hmm. high did you ever get?
Yeah, I played junior B, tried out for a couple junior A teams, Little Caesars.
What does that mean?
In Detroit. Junior A is higher than B. That's the,
what's after junior
the highest
A?
Level. That's pretty much it before you get into the leagues, like the ECHL, the East Coast.
So
Hockey
juniors League. Above college, or is it parallel?
Kind
or?
Of parallel. In okay. A lot of Canadians will play junior instead of going to college. I Shane see. Wright is a good example of.
Because I've heard people someone, talk about yeah. it, and I just nod like I know what it means, but I wasn't 100% sure I knew what
yeah.
it meant.
Okay. Yeah, and actually, junior A, there are 15, 16-year-olds there. I didn't get into junior B till I was out of high school, so I was already 18.
And
after a year of that, I figured I'd better go back to school.
And where did you go to school?
General Motors Institute to begin with.
Okay.
Flint, Michigan. And they had a, they had an IHL team.
You didn't drink the water, did you, over there?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. I at that time of my life, I didn't drink anything unless it was filtered through a brewery.
Okay, fair enough.
I can't. That's, we're going to get into so much.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about.
I know.
So, all right. So then you. How old were you when you realized your competitive playing days were done?
I played junior B and realized I just didn't get any looks. Nobody okay. had a lot of success in high school. I can hear Bruce Springsteen singing Glory Days right now.
Right, right. How old were you then when you finally knew, like, okay, this is done. We're wrapping it up.
I was. As far as like making pro, going
well,
pro,
you were at that yeah, you were at that point.
I went back to school and I played intramural hockey.
So you were how old?
18, 19.
Okay.
And then I came out of here right after college. I came out here at 21.
To Coachella Valley?
I was in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Most of
okay.
It's like a wayport for those of us who end up out here from. You know,
you got to get a feel for it, yeah. Check it out, and then you're like, yeah, I'm over it. So let's get out of here and go do yeah. something different.
I grew up. Well, Muskegon is right on Lake Michigan, and so you get the lake effect. So, you know, Muskegon gets more snow than Buffalo.
Ooh.
It's a lot of snow.
And
no, thank
so
you.
There was a vapor trail from my little Mazda.
Like, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. I ended up near Huntington Beach because growing up in a beach town, it was just kind of a natural feel.
There's something about that, you know, being around the water. You know, yeah. and I think I grew up around the water a lot too, and it's weird when it's gone, and you just gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
Now, did you tell me once before you played on the same team as, was it Coach Bilesma?
Dan is from Grand Haven, Michigan, which uh-huh. is just 8 miles down the road.
In Michigan, 8 mile?
I'm plug.
8 mile, there you go.
Thank you.
Everything's 8 miles.
That's right.
I'm relatively sure that he played in the same youth organization that I did. I haven't talked to him about that.
No.
But I got a feeling we both played meaningful games at the old Seawalker Sports Arena in Muskegon, as did Joey DeCord.
Hey, Joey, that's right.
Joey, when he got out of Arizona, played 1 year in Muskegon.
No kidding.
So it's a huge but small community ultimately, right?
Right.
And eventually, especially... And we, you know, we'll get into the AHL stuff. That's a much smaller. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody's, you know, talked to everybody and knows the names and knows.
Yeah, float around team to team maybe a little bit, and yeah, that's cool.
All right, so you came out to California.
So I came to California and I played. Oh, well, I was single, young, and so I was playing 3-4 nights a week. King season tickets.
Just bar leagues or.
Yeah, and I did skate. One weekend with a semi-pro team that played out of Orange County, and we played in Vegas. So I played 2 games in Vegas.
Nice.
And got paid for it
at the tournament.
And you got paid for it.
No, it was
at the Santa Fe.
It was at Santa Fe.
What year was that?
Probably 90, 91.
Oh, that 92. Was a little bit before. But I know you and I actually played in the same tournament. We didn't play against each other. Because you're way above where I was, in Arizona.
At Memorial Day weekend.
Yep. Yes.
Arizona.
I don't even remember the name of the tournament. I just remember the shirts had the skeleton guy skating. Yep. Remember that? Kiefer Sutherland was on one of the teams, And but you know, we were way up, and we were playing these guys down here. We were not.
Was that the paramedic team?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I reach into my big bag of surprises here. Ooh.
All right.
I played with the big boys, the firemen boys.
The Blazers. Southern California.
And just to show how old, how long ago that was.
Oh, it's faded out, man.
That's a long time ago.
It's a good number, though. I love that number. That's a great number.
I wore 29 in high school, and I wore 33 ever.
Did you, you played at Pickwick in Burbank?
Played at Pickwick.
Yep, that was our home, Pickwick, our home Lakewood. Ice. But again, you were not, I guarantee, you were playing up with these guys, you know, Division I, Division II, maybe. We were like 4 and 5, like, you know.
The Blazers actually took me to Canada for the police fire games up in
Outstanding.
Canada. Got me a fake union card. I was the
nice.
Ringer. And my first year up there, 91, 92, we finished second in our division. We lost the championship game, but Canadians looking at LA firefighters were all just rock stars. And I never wanted to be a firefighter more in my life.
Did when you grow up with big mustaches to keep up?
I was up there playing like I was one, but I,
yeah.
Good times.
That's awesome.
That's super
so hockey's
cool.
In the blood. I mean, obviously you've been doing this quite some time.
Yeah. Did you ever ref? Did you ever do on-ice refing?
I refed in Michigan as a youngster.
Were you like Shorzy?
No, not really.
No? No? little nicer to the fellas?
A little nicer to the fellas than Shorzy. And then I tried to ref when I came out here doing youth leagues, SCAHA, the Southern California kids. And the parents in California were
a little tough.
So overbearing.
Yeah.
And I was 21, 22, 23 years
That's
old.
A lot.
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Once I raised my kids were older. My son played his whole life. He started all 4 years. He was at Cal State Fullerton in the Nets. And when he got out of school, I went back to reffing for a while, and I could handle the parents then.
Mm.
You've got, you know, because you've got the parents chirping from behind the coach.
That's, I think, most sports, you know, football, basketball, especially soccer.
Dude, I think hockey parents might be the worst.
I heard they're pretty.
Second only maybe to cheer parents. Cheer parents are the worst.
Is it because of the time commitment and also the financial commitment
the
it takes?
Time and the money commitment.
I hear.
Every one of them thinks their kid's going to be the next.
I mean,
the
early morning skates, tournaments, it's all the equipment. It's the
private lessons
all over. That's what I hear. I mean, I've never done it. My kids, I never put them through all that. They played different sports, but that's what I hear pretty consistent. It's pretty rough on the parents. So they're all in.
When my son was on the ice, if I wasn't coaching on the bench, I was all by myself in a corner somewhere because I couldn't handle listening to the other team.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Think about all the stuff we yell to the players now that they can't hear us, but
that's true.
You know, take the shot or
block the thing
or whatever.
That's true.
If they can hear it, and it's all the parents
all
telling
the
refs and the coach and the other team. When I first saw that, I'm like, what universe is this?
And like you said, they think every kid's going to make it, right? Or they should be playing. Right. They're going to make it, and
You go to the scorer's table to call a penalty on a, you know, put a kid in the box for 2 minutes, and you got the parents chirping. And later in life, I realized I just skate over to the coach and go, guy in the green jacket
there you go.
Right there.
Yep.
He's in the key.
If I hear two more words from him, you get a bench minor.
Smart.
And all of a sudden, that's, you know, a little age, a little maturity, and you realize
keeps
how
you
handle.
Out of trouble. Yeah, that's
learn
exactly right.
Like
well, I was actually getting ready to ask you, have you ever had to eject a parent or, you know,
I
do
let
anything
the
like that?
Do it.
That's good. That's smart. Smart play.
Very very politically correct. Yeah. Very savvy.
I like that.
All right, so you're spending time in Orange County, you got the ocean breeze, you're skating, how did you end up here with the Blazer on at Acrisure?
There you go.
Okay, so I got married in 97, we moved out to Menifee, right north of Temecula in 2001. And
we bought like a 4-story house for 80 grand or something.
Beautiful.
Sold the house 3 years ago. Kids are all grown.
You just sold it 3 years ago?
Who's your agent?
Three as years. A real estate agent, good job. Because I know what you did. Good job.
Yeah, yeah. We hit the top of the market. I know.
That's exactly
sheer,
what you
sheer
did.
Blind
luck. Oh yeah, it's all nobody had
and
a clue.
The wife and I were separating at that point in time. She went back to Orange County, and I came out here to build a brewery and an Indian casino, and then ended up staying on as the brewmaster for 2.5 years.
So
no plugs, can't say what casino.
We did talk, you did reference that if it didn't come through a brewery, you weren't drinking it. So, okay, how did you get into a passion for that?
I started working for an Anheuser-Busch wholesaler in 93.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like you were working 92. For him in college, but in high school.
Well, I was just
keeping him in business. Yeah. They're keeping him in business.
I was building my palate at that point.
Good job.
But yeah, I've got over 32 years in the beer business.
Really? So I had buddies back home. Well, I mean, they go hand in hand. I had buddies back home that would do the homebrew thing. Did you ever do that? Did you ever make your own?
You know, at that point in my life, it never made sense to make beer 5 gallons at a time when I drank 10 gallons a week.
It's just simple math.
I know exactly
it's just
math.
Good math. Okay, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's
supply and
so, demand.
No, I started right out on Pro Systems.
Okay. And did you know somebody who got you into that, or did you just kind of start finding your way? And, like, did you go on Craigslist and start saying, hey, man, like, I need a job here? How do you get into that?
I was working for the wholesaler. I started merchandising. I started building displays at places called Lucky and Alpha Beta.
And remember those stores?
No.
Oh, those are old school.
Yeah.
Old school
SoCal.
Sorry, man. Yeah. I'm still learning.
And thrifty drug stores. Yeah, I built
Best ice cream.
So I took the job at 32 years old. 30 years old, minimum wage. I was the only guy who spoke English in the department. But I started dressing like a salesman, and it didn't take long to get promoted into sales. And
you're a people guy. I mean, yeah. I could see.
So I worked in sales, and then I became a manager, and then I started doing training for the whole company.
Wow.
I'm always seeking knowledge. I'm always looking to get better.
Yeah.
And I was laughing when you guys were talking to Jason Hernandez about what music he listens to on the way to the games.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Let's get to know. What are you listening on the way to games?
Well, on the way to the game, I'm 106.9 because I like him. I like the Eagle. I like the music.
Classic rock.
I like hearing. You know, they usually have at least one or two.
Every
Firebird
song
promos.
Has memories attached to it.
Well, yeah.
And they
do
a couple Firebird promos, and I've only got a 9-minute drive to the arena. So
nice.
Yeah. It's real close. But like today, Zig Ziglar. The Born to Win series, the 16 CD series. I'm just constantly podcasting, learning, stretching. And I've done that my whole life. I've always had tapes in the car, and it's all about getting better.
Good for you.
Whatever I'm doing.
Good for you.
And so the thirst for knowledge in the brewing business led me to always looking for bigger, better things.
And that's how you got into doing.
There was a magazine
called
Celebrator Beer News, and every county had a writer, so I wrote for the magazine for probably 6-7 years.
Really?
What?
We got an author.
And by doing that, I managed to meet every brewer in Orange County.
Yeah.
And what? In the beginning, they didn't like seeing me coming. And this guy's going to ask a bunch of stupid questions. And
there are no stupid questions.
And I came up with, you know, breweries sell beer to go in growlers, the half-gallon jugs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I stumbled upon bringing a brewer some beer from another brewery and said, hey, I was at Main Street Brewing, and I said, I got the new stuff from Taps Fish House in Brea. You want to try it? Oh, yeah, I'd love to. So we tasted together, and then that helped me build my palate, helped me talk quality with these guys. And before I left, I said, hey, I'm going to Huntington Beach Brewing tomorrow. is there anything you want the brewer over there to try? Oh, yeah, let me fill that up with
latest. That's interesting. So I would think there'd be like a little conflict event, like, don't bring that into our house kind of thing.
Oh, no, the brewers want to taste what
they want.
Is
it's like
awesome.
Sexy pictures, dude. They want everyone to see them.
Get it out there.
And they're working 45, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. They don't get out as much as people think they do.
Oh, yeah.
So all of a sudden, every time I'd walk in the door, if I had my blue cooler with me, it meant I had a growler with me, they wanted to talk to me.
Sure. Well, you got beer in hand, man. I'd want to talk to you, too, at some point.
So that got me into the brewing side.
That's great.
And I also managed to coerce our CEO and my mentor into sending me to Siebel Institute in Chicago, which is the oldest brewing school in America.
Siebel.
There's brewing school.
Brewing school.
Did you know there's brewing school?
I had no idea.
Their sister school is in Germany at Wehenstephan. And Wehenstephan will celebrate their 1,000-year anniversary in 2040.
Whoa. So they've been making beer a long time.
That's a lot of...
They've pretty much got it done.
They've perfected it.
That's like before the monks were bringing it on ox carts up the hills.
That's about the time that they
that's pretty they amazing.
Like some dude's out there trying to figure out how to make a typeset thing, and here comes the beer guy.
And then the beer and the hockey dovetailed real well, because when I was a sales rep, I was picking up out-of-code beer everywhere.
Hmm.
Well, if it's been refrigerated the whole time, it's not bad. And so I would get out of work. I'd throw my equipment in my work van, and I'd also throw a couple cases on ice in the back of the work van. So when it's beer league. It's called beer league for a reason. And we would end up out at my van, both teams and the referees.
Everybody hanging out.
And everybody's hanging out, having beers. And
old school.
On Sundays, the families would come. So some guys would bring barbecues and meat, and I'd provide the beer. And the kids would play street hockey in the parking lot. And it was just, it was full blown. Yeah, we didn't realize how good we had it back
then.
Yeah,
so simple.
So you're out here, right? There's one sheet of ice over in Cat City somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're doing your thing. Now, how does that become you, Ed Akershire, with the blazer and the tie? And let's get there.
The VP of promotions from Akershire happened to be at our brewery with his son having lunch. And he had a Seattle Kraken hat on. And if a guy's got a hockey hat on, I'm going to talk to him.
Yep.
So I was talking to him, and I asked when they were planning on hiring off-ice officials, because I
knew the arena was coming, obviously. Yeah.
I knew the arena was coming. He transferred down here from Seattle.
Okay.
And he put me in touch with, he said, we haven't even started hiring the person who's going to hire the people.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, I can do that.
Amen.
Yeah, but I ended up getting a call from the now crew chief, Jason Elliott.
Yep. You know Jason?
He wanted to do a phone interview.
He's a great guy.
So we're doing the phone interview, and he said, tell me about your background. And I said, well, I gave him kind of this Reader's Digest version of what we're talking about. I said, but I was on the board of directors for the South Coast Sabres. We played out of Glacial Gardens in Anaheim. I said, I was in charge of game presentation, so I ran the scoreboard, did the score sheet,
that was
did
a
the
nice
announcing,
week, by the way.
Did the announcing, and you went, holy cow, I know who you are. You wear black rim glasses, and you're too old to have a mullet.
and I you're went, never too old to have a mullet.
I went, yeah, because I was probably in my 30s and 40s when I dealt with him. And I said, yeah. And he goes, you're the only guy in the league that had hockey pucks in a cooler on ice for us.
Oh,
just
that's
like
awesome.
The pros do.
That's
and I
awesome.
Said, I said, yeah. I said, I took copious amounts of static for that at home, because I always had 30 hockey pucks in the deep freeze. And then
the wife probably wasn't too thrilled with that. She's like, you're taking up
space. What are you
doing?
Nobody does that.
What are you doing?
Then it doesn't bounce.
So 20 years later, 25 years later, I'm interviewing over the phone, and the guy remembers me, and he goes,
that's pretty cool.
You're in.
He really?
Goes, I know
Jason
you.
Just
you're,
said that from that.
He goes, you're in. You're buttoned down.
How awesome.
You're buttoned down. And I.
So doing it the right way for so long, like that's what matters. I think that's a great life lesson right there. So if anybody watching, I mean, no matter, you don't think people are paying attention. They're paying attention.
Yeah.
They're paying attention. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
everything I, my mentor taught me early on, everything you do, strive for world famous.
Sure.
Even if you don't get it, if you're striving for it, you're going to be better than 80% of the people.
Well, like
out there.
You were dressing for the part back when you wanted to become a salesman, you were dressing for the part. And that's what that is. You're striving for that, that next great thing, that goal. Absolutely. And being learning based.
Right.
These are all things that executives, high achieving folks, you know, I'm sure you read a few books on this, but this is how they get there is what you're saying. That's awesome.
So you went to the uniform shop, you got your gear.
Yeah.
Tell us about the first time you walked in to Acrisure.
Yeah, I got to have a big smile on my face because that was...
It was a good day.
It was a very good day. Game one. I mean...
Was that the first day?
Yeah.
You weren't there before?
Oh, really? They didn't let you get in beforehand?
We never went. We had
opening, December 18th was
opening
your first
night?
Day just with us.
Opening night.
Oh, so you felt what we felt. Like, we were just giddy, too. We were like little kids.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah. Man, I'm like a little kid right now.
Yeah, no, we had one meeting as an off-ice official crew.
Wow.
And all the jackets and pants came from Men's Warehouse so that they would all match. And the ties have the AHL logo on them.
You guys look great, by the way.
Yeah, we were in charge of our own shirts.
Look good.
But, and little side note on that, if you look at my cuffs, I bought French cuffs.
I notice you always rock the cufflinks.
Yeah, you got style, man.
The cufflinks and the tie tack with my initials on it were my dad's that he left.
Oh, wow, dude.
So I bring dad to every single game.
Dude.
And,
I didn't realize you're going to bring this much heart onto the show, man.
No, right?
This is like, because I
have to go to commercial. Do we have commercials? Is that a thing?
No, not yet. well, because I mean, I get in those moments. My dad passed about three and a half years ago. And, you know, there's these little moments of life and there's these things that you do. You kind of, you take them with you. And I don't care how old you get. I don't care what phase of life you lose a parent, but especially, when you're close and you have that awesome relationship. And I did. I had a great relationship with my dad. It's so cool to bring those little things along. That's so meaningful.
Well, since we're talking about dads, I lost mine in 2017.
Oh, man.
And he was, my mom died when I was like six, so he was my everything for my entire life.
Wow.
He came to every single sporting event, every single thing there was to come to, he was there. Yeah. But in my 20s, in the early 90s, when I just figured, hey, my buddies, let's play hockey. There's some guys giving lessons, we'll try. He came to midnight practices at Pickwick just to watch us practice.
That's awesome.
Never missed a game.
That's
so
awesome.
When you were telling that story earlier, I was just trying to, keep it down. But, since we're talking about it, let's talk about it. Since people are listening, let's... Go hug your dad, man.
Yeah, love on him.
Or your mom, whoever. Just go say thank you.
I agree. Yeah, okay. So since we're sharing a little bit, same. My mom passed when I was 15. They divorced early. But then when we went to be with him, he was both sides of that. And he worked two jobs a lot of times, but he never missed a track meet. He never missed a football game. He never missed anything I ever did. It didn't matter what I was doing. He was there. Like, you look up in the stands, like you said, you just look out, and you're like, there
Boom.
He is. Boom.
So now every time I see your cufflinks and your tie,
oh, man.
I'm gonna nod a little bit in respect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and we all share a lot of common ground. My mom passed when I was 12.
Oh, jeez.
So my dad pulled double duty.
This is what the show's about right here, man.
The universe has brought us together for a reason.
It's a shared experience, and it's a tough experience to go through something like that. So shout out to you dads out there that are grinding and doing it. Keep going because you see it matters. That's so cool. I had no idea, like, every game, because when I do see you, you kind of have this air about you in the arena.
You have some pride.
You do, man. No, you do. You're there for purpose.
I don't know how to – you know what? I love the job.
You can tell.
And I pour myself into it because these kids deserve the best they can get. And we'll get into some of the idiosyncrasies because, like, when you were talking with Jason Hernandez, you asked him, how come sometimes it takes so long to announce the goal?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's us. It's our job. And it's our job to – if he sees – he made the comment, if I see the goal and two assists are obvious, we can announce it.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a deflection or there's a scramble in front, it's critical that it gets identified. And we've got to go back to the video, got to go back to slow motion.
In the preseason we gotta get game it right. This past Sunday,
yeah.
There was a goal that was scored like right before the end of the period, and he didn't get to announce it till the next period.
And
my wife's like,
what the heck just happened?
Like, I looked out for 1 second. What did I miss? I'm like, no, that was from the previous period. Why do they do that, though?
They want to make we need to make sure that they get.
No, why do they call it like that? Like, I get it if in the middle of the game, goal, but 20 minutes later, after the periods, the next period
still call it.
So why do they still call it?
They do it because they want everybody in the seats.
Okay, got it.
Acknowledgement?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I asked that question with Jason because, again, if you listen to the first episode and the others, like, thank you for listening.
Have you liked and subscribed?
I've liked, subscribed, and share.
Ooh. Good. All right.
Triple.
Did you set the notification so you get a notification?
I do.
Wow.
I could.
I'm
loyal listener.
Yeah. I'm a YouTube junkie anyway.
Got it.
That's great. Yeah, I had a hard time in the beginning especially, and I think it's when I met you guys that I think it was you or Jason or somebody explained that to me. It's like, well, you know, we're making sure it's right because it always bothered me. Like, I just didn't understand it. So I had asked Jason that same question.
So I want to get to the idiosyncrasies, but you had a big smile on your face when you talked about the first time you entered. What did you expect of this new team on December 18th walking into the arena? What did you expect?
Having grown up in an IHL city, I had a pretty good clue as to what the game flow is going to be. There were really no surprises in terms of the logistics of what was going to happen and how it was going to happen. But, it's so exciting to – and this is the AHL. It's, you know, the IHL was always a level below.
Mm-hmm.
So this is fairly big time. This is very NHL-esque, and the atmosphere in Akershire, you know, with the fans and the teams and the place being brand spanking new and having everything brand new, everything works. Just it's such a joy to work there. It's such a joy to be part of all of it.
So the people, the energy that night, that's what blew everybody away.
Did you expect them to be that good?
I didn't know what to expect, but I think we were all very pleasantly surprised
as to
how they grew. I do believe that the first 2 months on the road with them sheltered together brought them closer together as a team.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Yeah, we did. I think it was with Kyle. I think, when he was on, he mentioned that because of the fact, you're right, he specifically said, because you asked that similar question around it, and it was because they were traveling and had to be together so tightly. So when they finally got home, when they got here, they got home, they were already a unit. They had a shared unique experience that the other teams didn't really have. So they were already, like, fighting for each other. And you can see it. Like, when we saw it night one, you could tell there was something different by the way they were playing and interacting.
There was a special familiarity that you don't normally see.
Yeah.
Certainly not from I've never seen a first-year team, but it was different. They were connected.
It was cool.
The chemistry was
very, very cool. And I think you're right, by being together for 2 months.
Yeah, and typically the first really long road trip for a team causes that bonding.
Mm.
They had 2 months of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they were a man without a country, so to speak. You know, they just...
Yeah. Then they came home and they took to us like, I don't know, something to take something.
What's one of your favorite games, one of your favorite memories from being in there? You know, we had some pretty amazing, you know, like the teddy bear toss night was really fun. Do you have one that stands out in your mind?
Obviously the triple overtime game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We default to
that.
You can't not love that moment.
It's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Game seven, because of the overtime, was a long game. That was a long night. And I don't think anybody in that building expected them to lose.
No.
And
no, because we'd been there before. We've done it before. We went to game seven or game five, whatever, the final. Yeah, no one expected that.
But, I mean, we didn't expect them to play in such a way where they would have lost, and they didn't.
Yeah.
it was a good or bad, depending on how you look at it, bounce
yeah.
of a puck that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
You can't blame anybody for it. It's yeah. just the kind of thing that happens. And I wish it had happened the other way, but it didn't. So anytime I hear someone say that I didn't expect to lose or we lost, I just don't feel that way. They played to win, and I don't think they did anything wrong. That was just...
If they didn't show yeah. up, I think that would have been different.
Right.
Like, had they not played the way they played, like they fought to the end.
Yeah.
And that's what they did all season long, all series yeah. long. So I think if it was one of those, they just didn't show up or play their best game, one of those things, I think that would be a little different the way the story is told. I think it was just like you said, it's one of those silly... And I learned this, so now I'm becoming a hockey guy. Yeah, that's happening.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
When we've seen enough of what we saw, and I felt that, oh, no, we're going into, like, overtime, and then it just takes one silly bounce. That's what went in the back of my mind. I'm like, oh, crap. This, you know, this could go the wrong way over something stupid. And, you know, there it was. But it's hockey. That's hockey. And that's why I think I fell in love with it when I started seeing those little nuances during the regular season and the playoffs.
And the more you watch, the more
oh, you just
there
fall
is
in
to
love,
see,
man,
for sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, opening night for 23-24 season is about 48 hours away, give or take, from the time we're recording this.
Yeah, we're not.
So
far
once
off,
that
man.
Puck drops, we got to stop talking about the first season.
I know
so,
that's good though.
You know, we got to yeah.
one last
do while we can.
But these guys have behind the curtain look a little bit. You're around the stadium. You're there pregame. You know, like what is that? Okay, so yeah, actually, what does that look like? You know, before a game, how early are you there? What's your prep like? Like, what are you guys
and then,
doing?
And then after that, what do you do?
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Well, first off. We technically work for the league.
Okay.
So there's no cheering from
no overt
from somebody cheering. No there's no cheering from someone in a blazer.
So yeah,
if I've got that league shield on,
yeah.
I'm Switzerland.
How hard is that for you?
Incredibly easy.
You can just disconnect like that.
As much as
you love the birds.
As soon as I pull that tie on,
It's all business.
I'm a hockey fan. It's all business. And I've got to be impartial.
We've talked about it. Yeah.
You deal with judges all the time who have to be impartial or else recuse themselves. Well, and we are the same way.
That's a subject for another podcast.
And during the playoffs, the last two rounds, we had the president of the AHL sitting at our table up in 108.
It's not like he's watching you. It's like he's watching you.
He's watching.
So there, we made sure we mind our P's and Q's anyway. We're all professionals.
I've never seen any of you do anything remotely unprofessional.
You guys are, yeah. I know a handful of you guys, and not one of you would, you would waver either way. Like
so you're Switzerland. You walk in. You're in the parking lot, I assume, a Firebirds fan. You cross through the doors, though.
Actually, as soon as I put the tie on,
boom.
having a tie on, it's a gentle reminder around my neck that I am working.
This is okay.
This is a job.
What time? Let's say the puck drops at 7. What time do you get there?
Yeah,
I'll get there about 5.
And then,
2 hours before.
And then what? What do you do?
Head on down to the media room. All the off ice officials, media, referees, Jason Hernandez, mm-hmm. and the production team will be down there, and. But as a group, the off-ice officials, we have our pregame meal.
What, can you say what you – oh, meal.
What's your meal? What do you guys have? Is it just what, like varies, or do you guys do the same?
What I'm assuming it's a lot like what they serve up on the second – on the
like
suites,
the buffet?
The buffet.
They're not bringing in Domino's for you. You're eating big boy food, right? Proper food?
It's pretty proper. It's good.
You're taken care of.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, they'll have enchilada night.
Love it.
And – you know, a Mexican theme, and then we'll have stir fry another night.
Love it.
So yeah, it's nice. It's
good
the best
bonding,
meal of the day.
You guys get to sit around, talk a bit, and kind of. So you're like your own little team, your own little unit.
Right,
love that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, just the off ice, right? The Zebras are somewhere else, right? Doing their thing. Are they even there yet?
They probably arrive about the same time.
But they're on their own in their own.
They do a pretty good job of staying incognito.
Okay.
So we can debrief. We debrief from the game before, and we might talk a little bit about the upcoming game. There's usually two big screens in there. So there's usually a game on.
Cool.
So that provides a little conversation.
And then you have a pre-game meeting, I assume. What do you talk about? What are the things you
like? What that basically, like? It's just the assignments for the night. There are 12 positions total that we fill.
What are they?
And we'll talk about those.
Yeah.
So everybody gets their assignment. Hang on, I gotta grab some water here. I might put it here somewhere. Losing my voice.
Yeah, you didn't realize we were gonna.
Yep.
It does it to you.
And we've only been at it for,
all right,
you know.
There we go.
I don't even know how long now.
A few minutes.
Everybody gets their assignments and we rotate. At least in theory, we rotate. During the playoffs, everybody got pigeonholed into what they do best.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that as well. But so the 12 positions, you've got the guy next to Jason in the headsets. He's communicating between the guys. We're up in 121 now instead of 108.
Yeah, it used to be back behind BuzzBox. You went on the other side.
They put us on the other side. They put us up on risers. During the playoffs, during the sellouts, when people would jump up and cheer, we couldn't see.
Couldn't see. Yeah.
So they put us on risers up in 121.
Yeah, you guys are up there skying it now. Yeah.
See, I liked it when you were at BuzzBox.
Me too.
I got to see you.
Yeah, yeah. I said hi to all the boys. I'm like, hey, fellas. And yeah. Now it's
yeah, we're fun. On the other side. So okay. You got the guy in the headsets. He communicates between the scorer and the guys upstairs. And then you've got another guy who runs the clock. And then you've got a penalty box attendant for the home and visitors penalty box.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting stories come out of there.
I'll say that's Tom's favorite always, spot.
Yeah,
Tom.
Yeah,
he hears
a lot of chatter and some things, and then there's the gentleman in the red suit or red jacket who will
Amir.
Yeah. Thank you. He gives it pretty good to the boys. Yeah, in the box.
He does. That's over on the visitor side.
Yes.
Yeah. Tom said he's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets him riled up.
I like working the visiting box. Conversations are fun with the kids coming into town.
I bet.
So that's.
In a minute,
there,
can you
then
tell
then you've
some
got,
of those stories?
I'll tell you. We'll tell okay. some stories.
Would we get that? I want to hear.
We'll tell some stories.
Okay.
Then you've got a goal judge at each end.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the net.
Mm-hmm. Hitting the red button, right?
Hit the button. Red light goes on. Everybody cheers and spills their beer.
That's awesome.
It's kind of a powerful feeling. You stand at one end of the rink and you go, you know, all I got to do is push this button. And that guy way over there at the other end of the rink is going to spill his beer.
That's right.
But we have to be professional, so we don't do that.
They got the tie.
Got the tie on.
So that takes care of the lower ice. And then up top, you'll see.
There's a handful of you up there.
18 feet of table and a good 8 or 9 of us up there.
Yeah.
We track plus minus for the away team.
Is that
plus
just
minus.
One guy? Like who's? What's each guy doing?
So one guy does plus minus for the away team.
For the entire team?
For the away team.
The away team.
Right, no. But so,
and we keep track of who's on the ice.
To be clear, so a goal gets scored on the ice. Right? Everybody on that shift gets a plus.
Everybody that's on the ice
that's
gets
what
a
I mean.
Plus.
So everybody on the ice, and then everybody on the other team gets a minus?
Correct.
That's a lot to keep track of because they don't stop and let you look at them. You got to be doing that on the fly.
They're changing and they change on the fly.
Well, oh, yeah. Wow. Wow.
And so plus minus for the away team, plus minus for the home team. And then there are two guys that do puck tracking, and they track every touch of the puck. So one guy calls and one guy writes it down.
So it takes two guys to do that?
Yeah, jeez. One guy's watching and he's almost like an announcer, but he's just doing numbers instead of names. So 18 to 11, 17, 18, change, which means the other team just picked up the puck. 47, 22,
so the guy
19.
Writing it down probably never looks up, does
he? Doesn't
he's
see the
always,
game.
And is he handwriting it or is it a computer thing?
Handwriting it.
Okay.
Wow.
And then, so then in theory, when a goal is scored, the last number called is the goal. The primary assist and the secondary assist should be right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's about 75% of the time that's accurate. But sometimes you got to go back to the video and double check and make sure.
And that's why it takes a minute.
So there's video.
It can take a minute. We do have the AHL feed up there.
Can you rewind it and fast forward? And
there's one guy that's just on video confirmation. Even after the numbers are submitted, the video confirmation guy goes back and he re-verifies
every goal.
Every
so even without us knowing it, there's video, like in football, there's an automatic
review
of every scoring play.
Yeah.
What about, is there any other circumstance where video is used?
Did the puck go in the net?
But other than goals. Other than goals.
No.
So penalties or anything else, nobody, you're not.
Whatever's called on the ice is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just there to, and the video is for accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no such thing as a coach's challenge, right? There's not.
No red flag.
Yeah. No red. Toss it on the ice.
Yeah.
All right, who else you got up there?
So, plus minus home, plus minus away. Two guys calling the tracking. The guy on video review.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got another guy on a computer who's inputting where every shot is taken from and who took it. If you ever go to the AHL site during the game, or if you watch football on your computer.
It's done in real time?
It's done in real time.
Jeez.
Dude, that's crazy.
So, I'm so glad you're here today.
How does one guy do that? How
can moving parts?
How does he see it and then put it in when more stuff is happening while he's doing that?
Everybody's got help from everybody else.
Yeah,
Someone else
he can't be solo doing this stuff.
One guy will go shot number 18 or shot 18. So he knows number 18 took the shot. Now he just needs to go on the ice, you know, use the mouse on the ice and just click a dot right there. And
dude, it's so crazy to think that we're just in Section 106 laughing and watching and screaming and yelling and go birds. And you guys are just up there like air traffic controllers.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, man.
That's I knew you're like, oh, this is up there. But this is, you know.
Way more intricate than I could ever imagine.
And you got another guy doing the score sheet. And then you got another guy on headset talking to the guy downstairs, communicating what else, all that is going on. That needs to be communicated.
Do you guys ever disagree? Are there any official disagreements? Like it was 11, no, it was 17. That's where the
video guy comes in.
Yeah, the eye in the sky,
and
big brother,
and the officials. Just like you know, the officials on the ice, off ice officials have good games.
Okay.
They have great games.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we have bad games.
What does that look like?
I had one really bad game last year. There were three goals scored in 45 seconds. And
Jason talked about that game.
We got so
boom, boom,
backed
boom.
Up.
Yeah.
I was on video confirmation, and I'm trying to confirm the first goal, and the guy doing plus minus is helping me. And the second goal is scored, and the guy doing plus minus hadn't been watching the ice.
Is there any stopping of play to catch up?
No. Wow. No, this is literally air traffic control.
It's all happening.
And you got to handle it. You got to handle it as the traffic is coming.
Actually, you know what's going through my mind? It's like I kept because it sounds like it's almost like a circus, but it's like remember the show ER?
Yeah.
When you and then they just show the chaos and you're going from room to room to room and it's just nurses in, nurses out, doctors talking. I need this. Okay, pop up. And like you know, Clooney's over here coming. You know, Michael Anthony, whatever. You know, whoever there. But that's what it seems like to me in my mind. It's like there's just it's just all chaos, chaos, chaos.
Do you want a fun little side story? I was on ER years ago. The first season, the extras they hired to be the paramedics kept dropping people. So after the first season, all the paramedics you see, the extras, they didn't talk, were actual real paramedics from Burbank and Glendale from right
so
around there.
So you were on an episode?
So I was on like five episodes. Every one of those where you see all the, and there was a lot of like long single take shots.
Yeah.
Took hours to choreograph. And everybody, because all the extras, if you watch a scene long enough, you'll see the same people crossing back and forth.
Mm.
Every one of those is choreographed.
That's amazing. I'm going to go back and look because that was one of my favorite shows.
Random Acts was the only episode I can remember the name of. I'm going to look it up. Anyway,
that's in my mind because that's what it feels like to me. It's like it's all these moving parts, and if one doesn't do their job or one faults for just a second, then it just dominoes.
And it dominoes back to the video confirmation guy.
That's the eye in the sky. That is Big Brother.
And
but do you have an extra guy to help you? Like everybody else is doing their job because you're three goals later. Is there a supervisor or somebody that can help him catch up?
It's just you.
There's no. Oh, you got to dig yourself out.
Wow. Wow.
It's like a bartender in the weeds. You know, the tickets just keep coming out.
Oh yeah, man. You just have to.
Tickets just keep coming out. You got to. You got to put your head down.
Yeah.
And take analogy. Care of business.
So for those of you know, ever watching or listening, as the season progresses and we're going to have some of those games,
mm-hmm.
just say a quick prayer
yeah.
for the poor guys up there trying to figure this all out.
Hug a high five, yeah. handshake yep. these guys.
Say thank you.
When
say
you
thank
see him, because now you know what's happening behind the scenes. That's yeah. It's awesome, like a restaurant. Everybody yeah,
some,
in the back
and
of the kitchen.
Some jobs are easier than others. The reason I'm pigeonholed into plus minus, as a goaltender, I grew up knowing line combinations.
Ooh, okay.
When you skate against a team, you have to quickly learn the line combinations and know who's on the ice at all times. So for me, it's very second nature.
Wow.
And so if you see one number, you'll know what other numbers should be on the ice with them.
Right.
But I get that for our team because our, you know, we have lines. But visiting teams coming in, you got to learn that like right now.
Right. Wow. And the plus minus home is a little easier because
you know
the lines stay semi-static.
Mm-hmm.
The preseason game last Sunday against Henderson used it as a dress rehearsal for their...
Because that was their top guys, right?
That was, yeah, okay. And their lines never varied throughout the game.
And that's the last time they're going to win in our building, so I hope they enjoyed it.
It was actually probably one of the easiest. I felt like, oh, I'm in mid-season form already. And then I realized none of the lines have changed. Now, the Firebirds, full bench, 18, 19 guys on the bench, and Dan was changing the lines all the time. And
sure,
the Firebird numbers, the font is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to read.
Yeah.
Do you guys have binoculars up there or anything?
Number 10, number 11, number 17, and number 16.
All blurred
and
together.
And 18 all look alike.
Yeah. Well, you might need to go back to Lens Crafters then. That might solve it.
They're moving so far, and those guys are up, man. I mean, so unless you've got binoculars and you're chasing.
We do have a couple of people that bring little scopes so that they can.
There you go. I would.
Do you – and their lines, but are there special teams as well, power play and penalty mm-hmm. kill, are a separate combination of
– Correct.
And are those always the same? You know who they're going to be or
– Nope, no clue. You've got to, as they're coming out on the ice for the face-off, you just get the numbers down while they're lining up for the face-off.
Is this what gets you excited every game? Is it because of all the moving parts and the fact that no game is the same and you have all this going on? Is that why, like, you smile? Because I can, you do light up when we talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I've seen you
out
Oh,
good.
There.
And that makes me happy because.
No, you are. And I get that sense every time we see you at the arena. Like, you're just happy to be there and you're just so elated. So is that what part of this is? It keeps you stimulated because of all those moving parts, those X factors, having to be on top of your game and just constantly having to be on that razor's edge.
It is.
I love it.
It's not different than playing for the most part because you don't have a clue as to what's happening next. You don't have any control over it. And all you can do is bear down and take care of business. But the game, from a plus minus point of view.
Here we go.
The book.
Here we go, baby.
Looks totally different. I brought game 7.
Game 7.
Hershey's
let's open that wound,
you know
why don't
we? I got
so it starts with we get the rosters for the home and the away teams. Mm. And we circle the starters because that gives me a starting point every period. Generally, the starting line starts every period.
Okay.
They don't have to. It's not a rule, but they generally do.
Good to know.
But then as we get into the game, this is Hershey versus Coachella Valley, game 7.
The plus minus.
First period. This is plus minus. And I actually tracked both away and home that game. I was helping the home person out. Away was my responsibility. And then this was my helping hand.
Jeez.
But wait, hang on. There weren't that many goals. So what is plus minus?
This is every line change.
Okay. Oh, I see.
And a lot of them happen on the fly. So what
so
I
even
do,
if there's no goal, you still have to jot every time a line changes. So you know who's on the ice
when a goal is scored.
Now we got to know who's.
God! So you don't work backwards.
Jeez.
No, you work forward. So.
Oh man.
So on the away side, I've got three numbers here. Those are the forwards, and then two numbers here. That's the defensive pairing. Typically, forwards and defensemen don't change at the same time, so I keep them separate. And then as forwards change, you just if number, for example, we've got number 14 right there, he's the starting left wing.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes to the bench and number 19 comes on,
mm-hmm.
I put 19 right there. And then I know the three forwards that are on the line if a goal happens to be scored. And then when a goal is scored, I box it, and I mark whether it's a plus or a minus. And then it goes on to a plus-minus sheet that goes to the crew chief, and that gets reported.
It's incredible you guys can track it.
Onto the stats. So I can tell you just by looking at this, it was 1-1 at the end of the first period.
So I'm looking, if you don't mind, it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The sixth line change scored.
The sixth shift.
Yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5. And our sixth shift scored.
And how many times have we seen that where the Firebirds answer virtually immediately after they give up a goal?
When you look at that, is it like the Matrix? Is it like code? You can see the whole game in that code?
Yeah. And a lot of times, if the action's hot and heavy during, for example, overtime, you'll notice that. So that's the first period. That's the second period.
Wait, hang on. Can I go back to the? Well, this shows it too. So, did they change that many more times than we did? Is that what that shows?
I can't guarantee that. This is the home team, and I was just helping with the home team.
Got it.
So
okay.
I would get critical
but
moments.
But if you guesstimate, you'd say yes. They probably were changing more than we were.
That's probably about the same.
Okay.
Shifts generally are about the same.
The other thing
that I notice here, you got a power play here. Then we went back to 5-on-5, got a power play here, and they scored, so that's a power play goal. And then another goal right there. But literally, this is what at the end of the day, that's what the game looks like to me. Now, this is overtime, and you'll notice the columns kind of run down. In overtime, it's critical to know every person on the ice. Overtime, Calder Cup, Game 7. The minute that puck goes in the net and that light goes on, that bench is empty.
Yeah.
I don't have a snowball's chance in heck of figuring out who was on the ice if I don't have a record.
That's true.
So now I'm writing without even looking at the paper and just keeping track of every change.
All right, can we talk about that last goal, though, since we're talking about it? So you're tracking the aways, right?
Uh-huh.
Score. You do your job, right? You put the numbers in because that's your job. At what point do you, feel the agony of the defeat, or do you wait till you get home?
Ties off.
I take it home because the tie's on.
Yeah, see, comes down to the tie, bro.
They could have scored. The Firebirds could have won that game, and you wouldn't have heard a peep from our team.
Oh my god, I don't know how you could have done that. I really don't. I don't know if I could have it in me. I know what you're saying. I know about being a professional. I know what it takes. I don't care, though. At the end of the day, I mean, for everything we had been through, to not have an emotional reaction to that, are you kidding? You're a better man than I am, I can tell you that. I couldn't do your job.
I want to play poker with you.
I dare you. I'm a good poker player. Actually, there's a lot of things I don't brag on, but I can do that. That's different.
I have no comment because I don't want anyone to know whether I am or I'm not.
Yeah. I played enough to
but say, I would play with you.
Yeah. Maybe, I'm not scared. You know? But...
Yeah, I see a poker night coming.
I think, there you go.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I think especially that night, there was so much buildup. There was so much emotion just walking into that building. I just don't see how anybody in that room, had it gone the other way. I know you guys aren't supposed to, but there had to have been a party.
So you got home, right? You took your tie off that night. Then what? Did you cry into it? Did you blow your nose into it? Or
No, I got the Clippers and I started attacking the beard immediately.
took your frustrations out.
Well, we
your
had
beard.
A beer. We had a beer first, right? That was a must.
I didn't. I used up most of my drink tickets prematurely, I did not. Partake.
If it makes you feel better, I had enough for both of you that night.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
We're good.
Appreciate that.
Yeah,
but what's funny is I've got friends who may not be able to make a game. And we're talking after the game. I love my patio and I love my view. And we'll talk about the game, or I'll be driving home talking about the game. And I'll get the question, who won? Oh, Firebirds won. Oh, great. What was the score? 4-2? 5-3? 3-1? I don't know. They won. They won by one, won by two, but I don't know the score. We're so deep into the numbers, that I don't always know the score when I walk.
But you know
the
who was on the line or the lines. You know the plus minus. I bet you could recall that really fast versus just
I can tell you who who had the hot hand that night.
Yeah.
So if you're focused on what it is you're doing in the moment, do you see, because you have a hockey brain, you have a hockey IQ, do you see penalties as they happen, or do they just blow by you because you got other stuff to do?
Once the numbers are set, all I'm doing is verifying, and I'm watching for line changes. And so I see a good chunk of the game. If you're tracking and you're the writer,
you're not seeing a thing.
You're not seeing anything.
Heads down.
But do you, like in your brain, is your arm going up the same time that the ref is? Because you know that was a penalty.
We'll usually verbalize it
to each other. Okay,
to each other.
You guys are calling it out.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a hold. Or
is someone up there documenting that too?
Offside.
No. No. The guys on our whole job, our whole focus, is supporting the four guys that are on the ice, refereeing the game.
That's awesome.
Someone's got to be documenting the penalties, though. Who's doing that?
The score sheet.
Score sheet guy.
Score sheet guy.
Okay. Well, he has nothing else to do, I guess. If you're enjoying this episode as much as we enjoyed doing it, please remember to hit that like button. And if you haven't subscribed yet, now's a great time to hit that subscribe button, too. And remember, turn on alerts so you never miss an episode. And last but not least, take a moment to share the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast with your Firebirds family and friends and anybody who loves our birds as much as you do. As always, the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is brought to you by Kyle Garman Realtor. Whether you're buying or selling, Kyle Garman and his team at Keller Williams have you covered. Visit him at kylegarman.kw.com. And by DesertDefenseLawyers.com, DUI and criminal defense throughout the Coachella Valley. Attorney David Givett has been working hard to keep folks out of the penalty box since 2008. Now, let's get back to it.
Lester's a goalie. He's just watching the game.
Do you? So my question is, you know, we have fairly same, but you know, a couple of new additions to our team. How about you guys? How is your team? Do you have the same guys coming back? Did you add some new rookies? Because clearly, as the season went on, what I'm getting the sense is, and you guys have dinner together. You have your meetings together. You're a team.
We are.
You're a team. And so you guys went through hell and high water like the Firebirds did, like the fans did, different perspectives, but we all were together. There's a unity through what we went through.
Right.
So now, is there anybody new coming on? Do you have the same squad coming back? I mean, what is for this new season? Is it the same guys? What do we got?
From what I've seen so far this year, we've got everybody back and at least five or six new additions.
Wow. That's awesome.
Because we spent the NHL game training, and then
which was your first, by the way, and you said that was one of your bucket list things. So
it was.
How great was that?
It was.
NHL didn't send guys. You guys did it.
We did it.
Oh, badass! That's cool.
We did. So I got to work my first NHL game.
Congratulations.
The coolest thing about all of that is my cousin Bob Heathouse is the radio voice of the Coyotes.
No way.
Entering his 19th year
as
the radio voice of the Coyotes.
That's so cool.
We grew up in Muskegon together. We graduated. We went to rival high schools, graduated same year.
Wow.
He went to Michigan State, got a broadcasting degree. I came to California and chased skirts and sold beer.
Not a bad place to do it.
I know. So I'm kind of
it's like, you know.
So I knew he was going to be in the building.
How cool.
And about an hour before the game, I thought I'd see him in the media room, and I didn't. So I went up to the announcer's table, and I stood behind them. I haven't seen him in 20 years. Wow. And they had their backs to us.
He knew you were there, though.
I'm like, no.
He didn't.
So I just
stood behind them, and I just said, all right, which one of you yahoos is Bob Heathouse? He turned around, and he went, Ed.
Did you hug him?
Oh, yeah. I got a great picture of us, too.
Is that what you posted on social media? That's what you posted? That's so cool, man.
So, and Bob's, there was a post from the Coyotes last year congratulating him on his 1,500th game.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot.
So between the two of us, we've got 1,501 games between the two of us.
That's a lot of games.
That was one of the surprises. I surprised him. I kind of ambushed him because I knew he'd be there, and I didn't reach out ahead of time. And then I ran into my brother-in-law, Paul Correa.
Paul Correa is your brother-in-law?
Yeah, everything.
Paul Correa, the Paul Correa.
This is a shirt, as a matter of fact, because I had to find something new
for you. Are you listening to this?
Hold on. This is going to be a terrible question. Who's Paul Correa?
One of the best Anaheim Ducks ever to play. One of the, I'm going to say, top 15 best players ever. Yep. He was damn good.
He's top 15. Yeah. If he's going to be watching the podcast, he's probably top 10.
Yeah.
Maybe top 5, Paul.
Yeah. But I remember watching him when he was a rookie. And he was, I'm like, what is, are his feet even touching the ice? What's he doing over there?
He was in the building?
He was in the building. Wow. He's working with the Ducks again, finally. And so I ran into him on the concourse, and we were having a conversation because it's been a few years since I've seen him. And Jason Hernandez walked by, and he just stopped.
I bet he freaked out because he's a big Ducks fan. Yeah, we learned that.
And so he walked up, and he's like, Ed, I know I'm interrupting, but...
but I'm doing it anyway.
Can I just interrupt long enough to get a picture? So I put my arm around Paul, and then I realized that he wanted a picture of him and Paul.
Right. That sounds like something you would do.
I said, Paul, this is Jason Hernandez. He's the PA here. And Jason, this is Paul. Well, I don't need to say his last name, do I? And he goes, no, you don't. So
he's your brother-in-law.
Yeah. Jason, everything my wife did, her little sister did a little bit better.
Well, you know.
That is so cool, though. I mean.
And my kids grew up calling him Uncle Paul.
I love it.
Wow.
He and Valerie, that's my sister-in-law, went out, when they went out on a date for the first time, she called our house, and my wife put her on speakerphone, and because she said, Ed, you got to hear this. And I'm like, what's going on? Val just went out with one of the Ducks. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Which one? And she goes, Paul's somebody. I can't remember his last name. And I go, well, certainly not Korea. And she goes, yeah, that's it. And I'm like, no way. So fast forward, they started seeing each other, and fast forward a couple months to some sort of a family get together where he was going to come by. Brandon, my son, was probably 8 or 9. No, 10 or 11, okay. Maybe 12. Brooke was 3, maybe 4. Okay, you're going to meet Valerie's new friend. I want you to call him Uncle Paul. Right from the get-go.
Yeah. Throw it out there.
Yeah, put it out there for the universe.
Well, that worked out, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of a cool little...
And he is everything everybody thinks he is, and then some.
Okay.
What a generous, caring, unbelievably wholesome guy.
Awesome.
Well, when you see or talk to Uncle Paul again, let him know that this grown-ass man appreciates what he did for, because that was right around the time when I was really beginning to appreciate hockey. My brothers watched it, and it was too fast. I didn't get it. But it was when I started playing, and that was right around the same time the Ducks came out, and we started watching them, and he was among the first.
Yeah.
And he instilled a lot of,
So you borrowed from his game.
I never know. God, no.
Well, I mean,
in my best day.
But you watch and you're like, I'm going to try, emulate some of what they do,
Yeah. Plus, I was a defenseman. I was, looking at McSorley.
So Cousin Bob and I have over 1,500 NHL games together now.
Wow.
And Paul and I, between us, have 11 All-Star appearances.
And he's got all 11?
Yeah.
I was going to say, how do you fit in?
It's technically a correct comment. That's all.
No,
it
is. You are absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
So you got new guys coming into the building. You the NHL was your first games. You had a great bucket list moment. I know that.
Yes.
And then, of course, we had Lights Out. We didn't get a chance to see our first preseason game, so then it was the next preseason game.
Wait, hang on. Can we talk about Lights Out for a second?
We can.
What, you're up there. You're ready to rock and roll. The lights go out. What do the officials do, and how do you get notified, and
are you getting free concessions too? Are you going to the beer garden? Are you hitting, like, what
it
are you
was
doing?
Funny because we were all at our stations because the lights went out, if you remember, exactly when they would normally do
yeah,
the
we,
backup.
We were starting
to.
We totally thought, here we go, baby. It's game on. And then new.
And the
man,
light,
that video production is taking a really long time to start.
Yeah, and then the generator lights came on. We're like, okay, something's wrong.
Yeah, because when it goes dark, did they do the national anthem? I don't think they did.
No, we hadn't gotten that far.
Yeah, and we were waiting for the lights to come up, and I saw the generator lights come up, and I went, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah, that's right.
And we all hung for about probably 15, 20 minutes and then realized, okay, this is going to take
a while. Was anybody updating you guys, or were you just as much in the dark as we were?
I came down to see you.
Oh, that's right. You were hanging out with us. That's right.
I went down to your to 106. I love 106.
Yeah.
I love all the sections equally because I'm Switzerland. But
However,
I made a beeline for 106.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah, we all hung out. Actually, I think that was a fun night. It was a shared experience. Everybody watching too. I think everybody all. It was neat because it sucked because we got dressed up and nowhere to go. But it was cool to see familiar faces. It was good to see everybody back in the building. It was one of those. This feels right. Hey, good to see you. A lot of hugging, a lot of high fiving, smiling. Then
actually gave us more time to kibbutz
catch up.
And talk.
You're right.
Catch up with each other. It had been a whole 8 weeks or something since we've seen each other.
A little longer, but yeah. And then Sunday rolled around, and then we got to see boys are hitting the ice. We got to see finally because we saw warm ups, but we didn't get to see anybody actually play. And then this time we finally got to see some players play. Yeah. And we saw actually the ones that you and I that we witnessed were like, yeah, that kid's good. That kid's good. Stuck around.
Yeah, Tucker Robinson.
We called it. We're good scouts. Yeah. I think maybe we have.
We
a...
We should be. Yeah, come on. We could be scouts.
You know what I'm saying? I think we should talk.
Oh,
to
the
someone.
One guy that I talked about
didn't make
Patrick
it.
Patrick Curry. He got sent back to Kansas. But
you never know.
But if there's an opening, they'll
you
be
never
calling
know.
That.
You never know.
They'll be calling that guy.
First man up.
Yeah. What are you? All right. So let's get into what's about to happen. Friday night. We know
opening
that,
night.
Yeah. There's the
nothing
look.
Like opening night.
God, and it's sold out.
I can almost smell it.
It's sold out. I can feel the energy. There's a red carpet event happening pregame. I know that.
We'll be there, right?
Yep, we'll be there. There's going to be the banner.
The Western Conference Championship banner raising.
So excited for that. I thought there was another banner that was going to be raised. Somebody had mentioned, but I don't know if that's true or false.
An inaugural season banner, I think.
Is that what's going on?
I think.
Is there?
I think I might have seen that on social media or something.
I haven't heard. And typically... teams raise the banner for the highest accolade.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Because they won the Western
Pacific,
the Pacific Division,
and then Western Conference.
And then
was there anything between that?
It took three to get to the to Western Conference because that was California.
So maybe there might be a couple banners going on.
Probably just the highest one of the bunch.
So okay.
Otherwise, Hershey would be raising.
I'd almost ask you if there's anything you can disclose that we need to be aware of, but I don't know if – I'm sure there's probably some things that you can't talk about. But, I mean, what can we expect for opening night? Do you have anything that you can give us?
And to answer that, I actually got hold of Jason, the crew chief, and said, am I okay? Am I not okay? Am I going to – because I –
Yeah, we don't get you in trouble. We don't want anybody getting in trouble out there when we have you.
But this episode's going out quick. We don't have time to edit. So
I grew up playing hockey, so I'm a rule bender. And
unless you got the tie on.
Well, correct.
But you do not have.
I do not have.
So is there anything on Friday that some Easter eggs or some things that we can be expecting that maybe we can discuss here or – We just leave it up to.
I'm
Friday.
Literally Sergeant Schultz on Hogan's Heroes.
I know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I know nothing.
And that's okay.
They haven't said anything to us.
I think they're trying to keep it very under wraps and just keep it a surprise. But so how hard is it going to be not to be just so elated come Friday night and just and be
cool? I'll have the eating grin.
Yeah.
Can you just walk in without the tie on and just put it on later and enjoy the moment for a second?
Ooh.
Do you have to put it on?
I think it's like the cape. I think like Superman, right?
Yeah.
Like the jacket, the
Well, right. they've got us trained.
It's the whole thing.
In order to get dinner, I have to have the tie on.
Boom.
Okay.
But I did make a couple trips last year. I went to Bakersfield twice.
We had a two-game series in Bakersfield, so I made the run up there, and then
did you see Mama Bird there because I think she goes to the Bakersfield
games. I saw her there, and then I was hanging out. I got out of work early on a Friday. And I went, I got no plans for tonight. I got no plans for tomorrow. And I looked at the hockey schedule. They were in Bakersfield on Friday night and San Jose on Saturday. So I went, I into Ways, Mechanics Bank Arena,
mm-hmm.
4 hour and 10 minute Jeez. Drive. And I had 5 hours. I went, perfect.
You really are a fan.
Drove up, went to the arena first, and then just input hotel into Ways. Found the first hotel that looked like it would be a
Motel 6.
A budget. Yeah.
Yeah.
They left the light on
by
for
the
me,
hour.
So.
John, Tom Baudet.
Some of those you need to leave the black light on. Yeah.
So you don't want to do that. If I'm traveling solo, I don't need huge accommodations.
No, a tent would work.
And so I went to the game Friday night, met a whole bunch of really, really cool people. Rich True and all your gang, great folks up in Bakersfield.
Are they the off-ice guys?
No. Although I did get there and see the off-ice officials. Oh. We get this really cool access pass.
Ooh.
Oh, look at that.
And that card Fancy. For the season what last got? Year got me into any building, anywhere for an AHL game. It doesn't guarantee you a seat.
We need to get something like this, man.
Can we but get one of those for you, concerts?
Yeah.
So this gets you in everywhere.
Any game, anywhere. So if I wanted to take off and go to Ontario and watch him play someone else,
in.
I just show that at the gate. I get there early.
If you get in there with that pass, can you demonstrate loyalty to a team, or do you still have to be Switzerland?
I wear my AHL hoodie, and I still stay somewhat neutral.
So if there's anybody out there that has the power and the access pass, if you just want to replace the off-ice official and put super fans on there, I think Dave and I would be okay with that and give us all access pass to...
I would take it as a regular fan
I think that
if
would
it got
be
me
great.
In the building.
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah. That's actually really awesome, man.
Well,
that's like
you'll notice that it's last year's.
That's really cool.
They went digital this year.
Oh.
So it's on your phone
on
now?
Your phone.
Or at least they're telling us that it's going digital. I haven't received issues yet. Mm. But it's nice knowing that, you know, if I happen to be in San Diego for something and the Golds are playing, I can pop on
really
over
cool.
and catch a game.
That's really
cool. Both Bakers. So I got up Saturday morning after the Bakersfield game. Yeah, might as well go to San Jose, wow. catch the second half.
Jeez.
Drove a beautiful drive and drove there. And I met so many cool fans. And because I grabbed a couple extra official pucks because that's like currency for the off ice officials. So I got to Bakersfield before the game, saw the off ice officials swap pucks.
Nice.
Same thing, San
so
Jose.
So, Firebirds pucks for Barracuda pucks.
Nice.
And
real good.
Between that and the card, that's kind of authenticity.
Did you bring any pucks today?
I did not.
Okay. I just had to ask. I mean, you know, I don't know. He brings beer to places.
Know, right?
He's got pucks. I don't know, man. I got to ask.
He brought an old sweaty jersey and a book.
Yeah.
I don't see pucks or beer anywhere.
It's awesome. Okay. Well, it sounds like so for Friday night. I mean, I don't know. I think we're kind of rounding the horn here. So,
are you... So Switzerland notwithstanding, we're excited, right?
Yeah.
We're excited to get back to it.
I can be excited the season's starting. Absolutely.
Yeah. You got a certain player you're excited to see?
No.
They're all your favorites?
You know what's funny is I don't really know that many players by their names and numbers. I know McCormick is 17.
Yep.
True is 11.
He was.
Wherever he is.
He was now.
In Florida.
He went to Florida and
yep.
He's on waivers.
AHL
he's
now. On, yeah. No, he passed. They went down. So he's got
That's what I mean. He's on, he he's went down to Charlotte or wherever their team is.
Yeah, he passed waivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joey was 35.
You're doing
And his number's what, 50-something in
Seattle?
Seattle?
I think
I thought
so.
It was 35.
Oh, no, that was Ty. Ty changed numbers. He went from 12 to...
12 is probably taken.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most
Beyond
part,
that, it's
I don't
a blur.
It's a blur okay. to me.
What do you? Yeah, you're right. We're rounding the horn here. What, just in general, are you looking most forward to for a second season? Now that they've sort of established themselves, and we don't get any more first timer credits for anything.
Yeah.
What are you looking most forward to or expecting out of season two?
The Leiwicki organization has set the bar really high, but they set it high from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
getting Dan Bylsma as coach was huge.
Yeah, we've talked
with
about
his
that.
NHL.
We
experience.
Talked to him last night.
Last night, I told him that. Yeah, right.
His playing
out.
Experience.
So glad he came back.
And if you watch the Kraken play, they play the Dan had to come in, learn the Kraken style of play,
it's
and then teach.
System, yeah.
So glad you said
that. So that those guys heading up, like Ty, the reason Ty fit in seamlessly during the playoffs. They all run the same.
Yes.
They all run the same patterns. They all run the same loops in the offensive zone.
That. Yes.
They love doing good. Royal Road pass, for cross ice in the offensive zone for the one timer.
Yep.
They are known for it, and I watched the Kraken play, and I went, oh, it's identical.
I Dan saw has the done same a, thing. Thank you for bringing that up. Awesome observation. Yes.
Seamless transition to go to the big guys.
Correct.
So. I'm expecting to see a lot more of that this year, but the bar being set high, I mean, even right down to the ice crew. I saw I saw the JR podcast and RJ. With the stand RJ. Did I say JR?
It's okay.
Slightly dyslexic.
A little dyslexia.
I got you.
In.
Yeah. I got you. That's why it's like the crew, man. We I got your back.
The bar is set high from a quality standpoint. So I'm anticipating a good year. For
he
the
was
birds.
Very adamant about that too. Like he's like wanting to up his game. RJ is about the ice and about the quality, and like he just it feels that way. Everybody we've talked with is they're looking to level up, and I'm not sure how you guys are going to do that. You did such a great job last season, and I don't know like if there's a way. Okay, fine, you can find that next gear. Good luck. I think as fans, I think we're kind of expected to level up and find that next gear as well. I've noticed everybody there's an expectation.
Can you enlighten us now? I know we're getting toward the end, but I want to tap into your hockey IQ for a second. This is something we've talked about. This is something everybody in the arena has talked about at some point, is that when the Firebirds are on a power play and they're dominating the attacking zone, they seem to spend a lot of time passing and not taking what seemed to from the stands look like obvious
just take the shot.
If not to go in to at least get a rebound,
get that loose change.
Why do they do that?
So I hinted at the system.
I'm not saying it's bad.
No, but I love because
the system that they use. Look, they're looking for that Royal Road pass, that pass from one side of the goaltender all the way across to the other side for a one-timer.
To catch him out of position.
A one-timer like that, you've got about a 60 to 70% chance of scoring every time you pull off that
play.
That's
what they're looking to do.
So that makes sense.
So all of the other passing that you see, and what I love about this is there's always a game within the game. Mm. And what they're trying to do, the penalty killers form a box. You've got the goaltender down here, and you got the two defensemen here, and you got the two forwards there. And the box will bend and stretch. They're trying to stretch that box out so that they can get those passes across.
See. So I'm going to repeat this back to you to make sure I understand it, okay? So they are passing to effectively try to manipulate that box into getting somebody or more than one somebody out of position. Because there are better odds on the one-timer that's properly positioned than a possible turnover from a rebound.
Correct.
Makes perfect sense.
Thank you so
much. Okay.
And you've got maybe a 2% chance of scoring.
Okay, no, that now...
On a shot.
We got to tell Rob Kelly that so he stops yelling and take the shot.
He watches.
Rob, stop yelling. Now we know why they don't take the shot.
That's why. Well, I mean, but he is in his own right, though. He is correct. Taking the one timer he wants to get it in. So that's all. No, actually, I'm so glad you asked that question because you're right. We went, man, it was
like around and around. Why are they not just going for it? Like so many missed opportunities.
Wasted time because you ain't got a whole lot of time in the power play. So why are we wasting that much time trying to get the one shot?
They're surgeons, man. They're trying to find that right
70%
cut.
70% of the time.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. So can I get to my. So
we end every podcast now with rapid fire. Don't think, just answer.
Oh, this ought to be fun.
It's not bad.
I'm not nervous.
You shouldn't be.
I'm fine.
This is wiffle ball. For you, this is nothing. all right, so what's your go-to food at the arena?
The team dinner.
And he gets fed. That's not a fed.
That's not bad. There's nothing else at the concessions that you gravitate towards. There's no other.
I think I've only eaten at the concessions once.
Oh, what'd you have?
Can't remember.
All right.
Something with tater tots that were cold.
Okay. Don't know what that
moving
is.
Moving on.
All right. Sorry. So what's your go-to meal in the Valley? Or restaurant, if that helps. But
30-day aged bone-in ribeye LGs. Or LQ.
Whoa.
LGs.
LGs. Oof. Okay. I hear you, LG. I see what you're doing. All right. We kind of touched on this, but go ahead and reiterate. What's on your radio come game day?
On the way to there? On the way to the game.
Yeah,
106, the Eagle.
The Eagles.
And,
classic rock.
Yeah. Classic rock.
I love it. All right, so what's a treat yourself day look like for Ed?
A treat myself day. A good day, and I haven't been able to do it for a while, is hopping on my bike in the morning and just taking off. Usually heading up.
Motorcycle?
Road bike. Heading up to La Quinta and just exploring back roads.
Wow.
Finding hidden lakes, and that's my idea of a really good
time.
That's
great, man. All right, so, all right, are you a DC or an MCU guy? Do you know the difference?
Don't.
Conflicts. Okay.
Boomer.
So this is DC, you know, that's like Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, you know, that side, and then MCU is, that's Marvel, so you've got Iron
Man. I'm definitely the Marvel side.
You're the Marvel side.
I just saw the first two Guardians of the Galaxy like within the last month.
Is that Marvel?
That's Marvel. Okay.
I just saw the first two. And
I just started.
And I saw Deadpool as well.
Love Deadpool.
That's a good one.
Love Deadpool.
And there's a second one.
Right,
there's actually a sequel, and they're making a third one. You should probably get caught up.
I don't do many movies.
It's okay.
So.
All right. So who's your favorite superhero?
Batman.
And he's DC, but that's okay. A lot of people.
It's okay.
There's a lot of crossovers. All right. What other profession, other than what you do now, would you have liked to have done or tried?
Well, that was the brewing side of things. And, God, I love making beer. But having done that, have I not done?
Yeah.
Something you would have liked to have done or tried?
I'm going back to being a fireman. I did the written and the physical agility and the oral for Santa Monica.
Wow.
Ended up number 7 on the list. The physical agility test, they told us that we had to climb to the top of an extended 100-foot ladder. Mm. And I had plenty of firefighter friends because I was playing hockey with them. So the guys at Redlands invited me out and put me through all the physical agility stuff ahead of time so I knew what to expect. And they took their 100-footer and they put it up against a building, and I walked up to the top and said, that's not bad.
Jeez.
I mean, it's up there.
Yeah.
Why not try other departments? There's a lot of departments around here.
Well, then I show up in Santa Monica for physical agility test and go through the carrying the hoses up the 4 stories and back down and the dummy drag and all the other stuff. Paramedics have my heart rate at 162 when I finish that. And that's probably the highest it's ever been. Mm. So it's time to do the ladder. They bring the ladder truck out. They put the ladder up, and they don't put it against a building.
Whoa.
It's at about a 45-degree angle.
Nope.
The opening segment is like walking up a staircase.
Like at the fair, if you get there, you win a teddy bear when you get to the top.
Nope.
Walking like a staircase on the first one. And then the middle section, it gets a little narrower, but there's still 2 sets of rungs. But the last...
It's just all ladder.
The last 30 feet is just a single ladder, single rungs.
And it gets windy as you get out there.
A little bit.
And every time you take a step, it goes down. It probably only goes down about this far, but it feels like it's this far.
Yeah.
And when you get to the top, you had to ring a bell, and then you had to wait for the guy down below with the bullhorn to say, come on down.
Jeez.
And I remember closing my eyes, ringing the bell, and just like hanging on going, come on, just talk to me. Talk to me, Goose. Talk to me.
Say it. Say it.
And then just backing down very slowly. We had a harness on.
Mm. That don't matter. So I have a little bit of a construction background, and I had to get certifications for an extended boom.
Okay.
So you're in a little man basket, and the exact same thing. It was 120 feet. I wanted to get the big one.
Which turns out is really high.
especially when you've got four tires and it's literally just, you know, like this quad, and then you just start extending yourself and you're out in the field and there's nothing and it gets windy and it's moving and it's like, and then you just keep going and you're harnessed in, but that doesn't really give you a lot of security. And then you're moving around, and I'm not really afraid of heights, but when you're 120 feet in the air and you're looking down and everything's getting smaller and you're moving, I mean, your brain does it. It just, yeah. So hey,
life preservation of life sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah. I passed, but I was like, man. And so anyway, congratulations to you.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. And then we can, we'll wrap this thing up. We'll land the plane. What's your favorite curse word?
Okay.
I've actually,
and once again, I've for mom and dad playing this in the car with kids,
this is the
keep
moment.
In mind.
No,
let it run.
I kind of sort of just did
ish, but let's, ish. Come on.
I've worked really hard at cleaning it up. I mean, growing up in hockey locker rooms and breweries, and I just did it the other day. I was getting gas in the car, and I was washing the window, and I dropped the window washing thing, and mother of pearl. And the woman in the car next to me getting gas just started laughing her butt off. I find myself, unless I really have to, I don't really swear.
No, that's fine. I mean, but we all have a go-to.
But mother of pearl is my...
That's your go-to.
That's my go-to.
All right, that's fine. That's awesome.
And when I was a little kid, it was son of a bitch.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I was playing in the recreation room with my friend. We were playing electric trains, probably 7 or 8 years old. Something happened in one of the trains, and I let out a good son of a bitch. My dad was in the workshop next door.
Oh, yeah.
And he was coming in to give me the what for.
Really?
And I looked at my buddy David, and I said, well, that's what Dad would have said. And he said I paused in the doorway and went,
yeah, that sounds all right.
Yeah. Well, apple didn't fall too far
from the
tree.
I don't think my son's ever caught me, so I feel pretty good about that. I think I feel pretty safe.
I never heard my dad use the F word until I was in my 20s.
Really?
Okay. I didn't almost ever, but when I did, boy, that meant it's time to be serious.
Yeah, it's game on. But yeah. Well, I think, dude, thank you for coming
on.
Thank
you so much.
It was amazing. I love your insight. And again, I love your enthusiasm every time we see you out there at the arena. Yeah. I mean,
well, thanks. That makes me very happy. Nice to know that it shows.
It really does.
And we're not just like, it really does. Yeah. So anybody watching or listening, when you see these guys, now you know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Say hi, say thank you, say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But you know, let them know that we are fans of all things Firebirds, which means all things hockey, which means you guys too.
Yeah, the off-ice guys are just amazing. And to any of the off-ice guys that are watching this, you guys are amazing. We appreciate you so much.
From any team.
From any arena. The nicest bunch. I tell you what. All season last year, every single time I see you guys, you give me crap, which I love, especially if I'm not wearing the right uniform. Last time I showed up and I wasn't in uniform, but you guys have just been so great, and you guys are, you know, you just poke the right way, and you guys are just a bunch of fun dudes, and I love it, man. Yeah. So again, I appreciate you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Seriously, this has just been a blast.
I appreciate you more than you'll know.
Can we get a Go Birds?
No, we can't.
Well, yeah, he's on his tie.
He's not.
I don't have my whistle. I need a whistle. Ideally, nobody should know we're there. I mean, other than seeing us maybe walk around before or between periods. Otherwise, we're supporting the guys on the ice. I'm blessed in that I work with a great bunch of guys. It starts at the top with Jason Elliott, and all the way down. It's a fantastic group of guys and gal to work with. Yeah.
Well, this was a good chat. If you're listening and you liked it, leave comments in the whatever it is down below there somewhere, and hit that like button, subscribe. But
we do have a goal, actually. So let everybody know.
We do. Yeah, tell them.
Yeah, we've got to hit at least, I think it's 1,000 subscriptions and over like 10,000 views. But I mean,
oh wait, I thought it was 300 subscriptions and 1,000 views. But I like yours better.
300 subscriptions.
And look, of a 10,000 seat arena plus,
if everybody,
we should be able to get 10%.
If everybody gets in there and gets on board, we appreciate it. So thank you guys for watching.
Yeah. And we can give them a Go Birds. You don't have to. We can give them Go Birds.
Go Birds.
See
you guys.
That was fun.
Go Zebras.
Go Zebras.
That was it.
Oh, man.
Go Stripes.
Well, that was fun.
If you're enjoying the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast on YouTube, be sure to drop a comment down below and hit that like button. Also, remember to subscribe and turn on notifications so you never miss out when a new episode drops. The Firebirds Fan Zone podcast is available on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and a whole bunch of other podcast platforms. So however you get your weekly dose of the Firebirds Fan Zone podcast, we invite you to share it across all your socials. And you can follow us on Instagram at Firebirds Fan Zone Podcast. And on Facebook, just search, guess what? Firebirds Fan Zone Podcast. The Firebirds Fan Zone Podcast is brought to you by Kyle Garman Realtor. Whether you're buying or selling, whether it's for your forever home or that quiet desert vacation getaway, Kyle Garman and the team at Keller Williams have the experience and skill to make that process simple and convenient. Check them out today at kylegarman.kw.com. Our podcast is also brought to you by DesertDefenseLawyers.com, DUI and criminal defense throughout the Coachella Valley. The criminal justice system is scary and confusing, but relief is just a click away at DesertDefenseLawyers.com. We've been keeping folks out of the penalty box since 2008.